Hi, I'm Jamie Albright. Can you hear me? and I'm going to talk to you about perspectives on childbearing and parenting among adolescents and young adults with perinatally acquired HIV. And these are the results of a qualitative study. We have no disclosures to report. So just to give you an idea, I'm sure many of you are familiar with this, the AIDS diagnoses among perinatally infected children rose until the mid-1990s, until antiretrovirals were discovered and the risk of mother-to-child transmission reduced drastically. So those under the age of 13 were much more likely to be diagnosed with AIDS, but then the surviving population of those with perinatally acquired HIV were living much longer and today are reaching adolescence and young adulthood and are relatively healthy. So now that the risk of mother-to-child transmission is approximately 1%, we are interested in finding out about their motivations for childbearing and their reasons for desiring children. So what we do know is that the among women, adult women with HIV who acquired HIV behaviorally, that HIV is not the most salient factor in their decisions to have children. There are a lot of other factors that go into their decisions to have children. Some of the predictors of their motivations for having children include that they're younger, that they perceive that they have better health. They strongly identify with traditional gender roles. This also goes along with religiosity. This was a emergent theme in the literature in that women who hold strong religious beliefs felt that the occurrence of pregnancy was part of God's will and that the HIV status of their child would also be a result of God's will. And then many women expected in the wake of having this disruptive life event of HIV that they expected having a child would provide meaning to their lives and reaffirm their womanhood. So we don't know much about the childbearing motivations among young adults with perinatally acquired HIV, but we do know that they're having sex and they're engaging in developmentally appropriate behaviors. Their rates of sexual activity are comparable to the general U.S. population, although they do have a later sexual debut, and they are having lower rates of unprotected sex than the general U.S. population. The majority of the literature focuses on sexual risk behaviors and sexual activity, but some literature has documented the pregnancies of youth with perinatally acquired HIV. The literature focuses on the medical management of these pregnancies and the outcomes of the births, and most of these women who have had children have had HIV-negative babies. A few clinics have reported their HIV their pregnancy rates among the HIV-positive young women in their clinics, and the rates vary from 26 to 30%, but this is only among perinatally infected young women and not the perinatally infected men who may have impregnated other uninfected women. So in order to get an idea of the childbearing motivations among young adults with perinatally acquired HIV, we recruited participants from two pediatric infectious disease clinics, which is where perinatally infected individuals are typically receiving care at this age, from the southeastern United States. We recruited those who are over the age of 14, and we collaborated with a social worker who referred patients to our study. We conducted semi-structured interviews with the patients, and we asked them about whether they wanted to have children, if they had had a child, and what they perceived the rewards and challenges of having children would be. We analyzed the data using LSTI with a grounded theory approach. So we had 35 participants, and the average age was approximately 21 years old. We had 23 females in our sample, and the majority were identified as Black African American, and about half of the population received Medicaid or Ryan White. And a large majority were either in high school, had graduated from high school, or were in college at the time of the interview. So first we asked whether they had experienced a pregnancy, or if they had ever gotten a partner pregnant. Eight of the participants had experienced a pregnancy or had impregnated another person, and 3 of those either resulted in miscarriage or abortion, and 5 had a live birth, and one woman was pregnant at the time of the interview. An overwhelming majority wanted to have children in the future, so 88.6 of those we interviewed wanted to have a child in the future. The mean number of children they wanted was 2.4, and among those who wanted a child, we asked them whether they intended or expected to have a child in the future, and this was 93.5% of those did expect to have a child in the future, and this comparably the mean number of intended children was 2 children. And since our sample of those who desired children was so large, we were unable to compare any statistics about the differences between those who desired children versus those who did not. So as a result of our qualitative analysis, we found that the primary childbearing motivations included kind of a normative expectation that they wanted the parenting experience. They expected that there would be great rewards of caring for a child, and they desired the unconditional love that they could give to a child and that they would also receive from a child. Many expressed a desire to create a better life for their child. They talked about the struggles they had faced in their own lives living with HIV, and they wanted to be able to provide a lot of love for their children and to create a better life in which their child is successful and happy. And this success could also come in the form of successfully having an uninfected child. And many wished to leave a legacy, and this also related to their childhoods in which they had had tumultuous relationships with their parents or guardians. They had experienced loss of guardians or siblings due to HIV. And some of them also talked about their experience with HIV had informed them of a lot of unique experiences, and they wanted to share that with their children to pass on to others. So here are a couple of quotations that illustrate the themes that emerged. I'll just read one of them to you regarding the better life for a child in the face of loss. One woman said, in her mid-20s, she said, "I feel like I have a chance now to have my own children and maybe do something better for them and have my own family, because ours sort of was shattered by this in a lot of ways." So this reflects the loss and the experience of HIV she had growing up and her desire to move forward and have a child with a better life. We also asked about their concerns about childbearing, and the overwhelming majority talked about their concerns about the developmental challenges of having children. They talked about the baby stage and children crying in the middle of the night and losing sleep, and toddlers who are, you know, challenging to manage, and teenagers who might be rebellious. And then they also talked about the ability to provide for their child. This involved providing financial stability and maintaining their own health due to having HIV. And some talked about having to care for a sick child, whether this meant because their child was HIV positive or the challenges that are associated with children's general illnesses. Many also talked about HIV-related challenges, and these included the fear of loss of a child if the child passed away, or if the child was infected with HIV. And also, it came in the form of parents being concerned about rejection from their child once they disclosed their HIV status. Some were concerned about mother-to-child transmission, and others were concerned about once they disclose their HIV status to their child, that their child would face difficulties and stigma due to that. So from these findings, we found that we did have higher levels of childbearing desires than those reported by the limited existing literature of young adults with perinatally acquired HIV. We did examine the motivations for childbearing, which has not been explored. But we attribute the higher levels of desires to the older sample that we have. Our sample mean age was about 21. The motivations and concerns about childbearing are similar to those found among adolescent and young adult cancer survivors. And then they're also consistent with literature focused on young adults with sickle cell, who are a comparable population in terms of demographics, who report that in a retrospective study that children provide increased life satisfaction after their experiences with illness. And this also going back to my first slide about women with HIV, most of the young people did not report that HIV was the primary influence on their desire to have children. Obviously, our generalizability is limited by this small sample size, and all of our participants were connected to medical care in some way. And few participants did not want children, so we were unable to compare the what factors might contribute to not desiring children versus wanting children. So, in conclusion, this reflects that, you know, the desire to bear children and engage in intimate relationships is part of the human experience, whether or not someone is HIV positive or not. And the right to decide to bear children has been declared universal, so that's important to keep in mind. And the risk of mother-to-child transmission is very low. So medical and social service providers are well positioned to talk about these fertility desires and intentions, and to talk about some of the challenges they might face in the context of HIV and having a child when they have grown up with HIV themselves and are going to be a parent. And this also indicates that support will be needed for the next generation of children who will be affected by HIV and who will have HIV-positive parents who've lived with HIV their entire lives. And additionally, understanding high fertility desires and the motivations and challenges of childbearing can reduce public health efforts to, support public health efforts to reduce secondary HIV transmission, as well as support the people living with perinatally acquired HIV and their partners and their children. So I don't have an acknowledgement slide, but we would like to really acknowledge the participants who shared their stories with us. And we were funded by Elon University's undergraduate research funding. Thank you.